Fun fact, Kazakhstan became a full Union Republic of the USSR in 1936, and then in 1991 they declared independence and was actually the last Soviet Republic to declare independence. So they were like sort of the last one to leave the USSR. A little bit of history.
So I'm so lost as to what the politics are with the
That was a
USSR.
Soviet Union back in like whenever that whole thing was a thing. I don't know the exact time frames around it, but that was the whole, the fear of communism and then everything. Because like Russia basically went and conquered a bunch of places and were like, you're ours and you're part of the USSR and you are now part of our communist regime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
So they
then,
left.
yeah, basically all the countries started declaring independence, but you can like kind of see the influences, even in the languages that certain countries speak. You can see the influences of Russia, basically, or the Soviet Union at the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hi,
Hi.
I'm Leanne,
I'm Tammy.
and you're listening to Incrimination.
Do 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 do.
Whew. All right.
Okay.
Do we have anything to go over today?
No, just that this episode is coming out a little early, 'cause or actually
Mm-hmm.
on time, technically.
On time, but we just have a. Yeah. We just. Yeah. We shifted things
'Cause
around.
we did our last episode a little later, so
Yeah.
this one was actually on will have came out at the right time.
We'll be coming out at the right time.
Yeah. No, but
Yes.
by the time they're listening to this, it will have
Would
come
it?
out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And Halloween's
Yes.
coming up.
Halloween!
Halloween. Details on that we will not be telling you.
Yep. It will be great though.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up.
Hopefully it'll be better than last year's Halloween episode where we just caught up with each other.
Yeah.
It's like our least viewed.
Yeah. We'll give you actual content this
Yes.
time.
Yeah. And it'll be spooky.
Yes. Spoopy.
Okay.
Also, I've been seeing a bunch of people on Twitter change their handles to like something spooky,
Oh,
and
the
I'm like, I don't
spooky.
even
Oh.
know what I can't Can you think of anything for my name? Like people will
What's your name?
like what's my name? It's just Leanne right now.
Oh, well, I wasn't sure what your
Yeah.
Twitter
So, no, there's been some people who so I know someone whose name is Jill and she just changed hers to Jill Boo with a little ghost at
She didn't
the
change
end
it
of
to
it.
kill?
She's not a true crime person. I think she's just going for something like ghost or
Spook.
like
Okay.
spooky, not like stabby stab.
But that's such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
We should just talk about this later. And we will discuss and figure out a name. Or I'm just gonna leave it the same.
So today's episode is about if you can't tell from the title, it is called Metal Fang. And I'll tell you why it's called Metal Fang shortly. But it's about a serial killer from Kazakhstan. So Nikolai Tsumagaliev was born on November 15, 1952, the third in a family of four children, him being the only boy. His family was pretty, like, not super rich, but they were stable. His father was Kazakh and his mother was Belarusian. When he was young, he got into a fight where the other party knocked out his front teeth. And instead of getting the usual plastic resin or porcelain dentures, Nikolai settled for a set of teeth cast with white metal, which later earned him the nickname Metal Fang.
Which teeth were these?
Front.
Like the front two, or like the actual fangs, like the
Like
incisors
the
and
front. I think,
scissors?
like, they never specified, and I could never find a clear picture, but I'm thinking just
Okay.
the two front teeth.
Okay. Oh man, if it were those like actual, like the fang teeth,
Yeah.
oh man, that would be sick.
I feel like it might have been like from canine to canine, like he lost all those, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe if I find a clear, better picture of it, I will post it for sure.
Yes.
So he wasn't a total loner, but it was said that he was quite private, His early years and adolescence didn't really show any signs of his future crimes. So he didn't wet the bed, there wasn't anyone who was abusing him, nothing like that. Mm-hmm. After the ninth grade, he attended and graduated from a railway school and joined the military in 1970, serving in the chemical defense unit, making chemical weapons in Samarkand and Otar in the USSR at the age of 18. In 1973, he applied for Kazakh University, but didn't get in. And then also applied for a chauffeur job, but didn't get that either. So after finishing his service, he just went traveling. He picked up jobs as a sailor, a trucker, a bulldozer operator, and an electrician in the Ural Mountains, Siberia, and Murmansk. Sorry, I'm going to butcher a lot of these names.
Murmansk?
Murmansk?
M-U-R-M-A-N-S-K. Yeah, I have no idea. We'll go with what you're saying.
Yeah, apologies to my USSR friends.
Not USSR, just Kazakhstan friends. USSR is no longer a thing.
Well, old USSR friends, because
yes.
This was prior to Kazakhstan leaving
the
USSR. And so, like, a lot of these will be, like, old names. And I don't know the updated names, and I don't know the geography that well, so my apologies in advance. He was known to be well-spoken, clean-shaven, and always neatly dressed, which allowed him to casually hook up with women without too much trouble. Despite his disrespect of women, he was also raised Muslim and worshipped the Quran. Apparently, he was also pretty condescending and would often hint at how he's a descendant of Genghis Khan.
Did you know, like, almost, like, Genghis Khan fucked everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, you could easily say that, I think, especially in sort of Asia.
In that area.
In that area, like, yeah. Everybody probably has some has a little bit of Genghis Khan in them.
And I think it was partially because, although he was Kazakh, he looked a little more Asian. Like, you know how people in that region are, like, a little more...
like a mix of
looking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what he was doing for a few years, until 1977, when his life took a turn. He returned to his hometown of Uzinagash in Kazakhstan to work as a firefighter. However, at 25 years old, Nikolai contracted syphilis and trichomoniasis, both likely transmitted sexually. And for the next 2 years, while he was battling these illnesses, a switch was flipped in his brain for one reason or another, and he began to hate women, specifically European women, because of how, quote, loose they are.
Like, in their behaviors, in terms of how they, like, how, I don't know, freely they live.
I think just, like, in terms of they had sex with more than one man.
Okay.
You know?
I was going to, okay, cut this out. I was just like, you mean in terms of their vagina? Like,
No. Like.
Yeah.
Sexually loose. I'm not going to cut that out. That was funny.
Okay.
He started having dreams where he saw pictures of naked women, but their bodies were falling apart. And this is also around the time where he started planning his first and apparently most intricate murder, initiating a long string of terror among the small villages surrounding Uzinagash. His first murder occurred 2 years after he contracted the illnesses at the age of 27 in January 1979. His first victim was a young woman, a Seventh-day Adventist, which is a branch of Christianity. I don't know why they mentioned that, but...
cool.
That was her. Nothing else, really. They didn't really mention much else about her in the articles that I was reading. Mm-hmm. Later during the investigations, he gave a detailed description of the attack. And I'm just going to read it because I wasn't really sure how to summarize it without... leaving out some of the details, because there's a lot of details, and I feel like, as disgusting as it is interesting.
Yeah.
Just to hear it from his point of view. So obviously this is, like, translated from Russian, but I always love to hunt, often when hunting, but this was my first time hunting a woman. So this is referring to like the stalking, I believe. Mm-hmm. When I went out on the Uzun Agak, my bulak trek, I saw some young peasant woman. She was alone. I felt my heart pound within me and I ran after her. Hearing my footsteps, she turned around, but I caught up with her and put my arm around her neck and dragged her to the side of the landfill. She resisted, and then I cut her throat with a knife. Then I drank her blood. At this point, from the village appeared a bus. I laid down on the ground and crouched next to the murder, while I was lying in my cold hands.
Hi everyone, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Sorry, I forgot to put in a content warning. This section is very graphic in the descriptions of how he murdered her and chopped her body up and proceeded to eat it. So if you want to skip ahead just like a minute or two, you can feel free to do that. Okay, enjoy the rest of the episode.
When the bus drove, I warmed my hands on the woman's body and stripped her naked. I cut the corpse's breast into strips, removed the ovaries, separated the pelvis and hips. I then folded these pieces into a backpack and carried them home. I melted the fat to fry with, and some parts I pickled. Once I put the parts through a meat grinder and made dumplings. I saved the meat for myself, I never served it to anyone else. Twice I grilled the heart and the kidneys, grilled meat too, but it was tough and I had to cook it for a long time in its own fat. The meat of this woman took me a month to eat. So, that's it.
We've covered several maybe? No, mainly just one cannibal.
Mm-hmm, so far.
Issei Sagawa. Mm-hmm. And that was already quite fucked up. Uh-huh. This is very descriptive and this is very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really know what other word there is for it. It was just a lot.
Do you see why I like didn't just summarize it? Because, yeah. You know, like, there's so many details in this that, like, all of them are, like, significant, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, I cut this part. But it was, like, I cut
it specifically into
the ovaries and the breasts and, like, separated these and I put them in my backpack. Like, there's no cutting any of this out because it's all, like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. And also the mention in the part about how the heart and the kidneys were too tough, like,
I don't think that part was tough. I think it was like a different part, like the meat was tough, because the hearts and kidneys are usually quite soft.
Yeah, but it's sort of just like, I hate it, because every time I think of cannibals, I think it always links, like when they describe it, I always think about the meat that I eat.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of like,
you compare it and you don't want to be comparing it.
I know, because I eat beef tendon and things like that. Yeah, I just mm-hmm. don't need to think about that. Like, beef brisket can sometimes be tough if it's not done right and all of that, and I'm just like I don't need to.
Yeah, I went for hot pot yesterday, so it's like all meat served on a dish, and you can just imagine. Like, I don't want to imagine it, but I'm imagining it.
Yeah.
He was also known as Kolya the Man-Eater. Kolya is short for Nikolai. But it also made his nickname Metal Fang a lot scarier.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And although he said that, you know, he never serves it to anyone else, it was said that he had these big dinners shortly after each one of the murders where he would make a bunch of meat dishes and serve them to his guests.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he served it to them.
Yeah, 100%. Well, not 100% because you don't know for sure, but...
Yeah, but I'm like pretty certain. Like,
he probably...
There's a good probability, good likelihood of that
happening. Yeah, yeah. Also a fun fact, Manti, I don't know how it's pronounced, but manti is a traditional type of Mongolian dumpling. Usually not made of human flesh, but...
In this case, maybe.
Oh, 100%. At least, like, he ate it.
He did it for himself. Yeah.
Yeah. He also believed that dining on the long pig, which is a euphemism for cannibalism, gave him special powers. I've never heard of that euphemism
I've
before.
I've never heard that fucking saying. Yeah. When you said dining on the long pig, I thought of... So when we go to our like ancestors' graves and stuff in China, mm-hmm. we literally
a giant pig.
An entire fucking barbecued pig up the mountain,
yeah.
right? Like,
yep.
That's what I thought of. And
yeah.
I've never heard the saying being used about cannibalism, but all right, let's move yep. forward.
Yep. Over the next 8 months, he killed 6 more women. Most of them he stalked, which was a process he referred to as hunting a woman, which he said he very much enjoyed. He would often find his victims near the riverfront in a public park and lured them into a secluded area before chopping them up with his axe. Trigger warning here. Just skip ahead maybe like 30 seconds. He raped them before and sometimes after killing them, both vaginally and allegedly he would also rape the stab wounds that he gave them with his knife. Yeah, that was like so fucked up. So fucked up. And apparently he carried his axe and his knife everywhere he went.
How is that not noticeable? So, I guess it's a small axe, but like the knife I can get.
Like if you're like a handyman.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know, he worked like odd jobs. I feel like it wouldn't be too startling to see him with like an axe, like a small hatchet, you know? But yeah, that was a very horrible detail that.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I think when we go through cases like this and there's like talk of rape, like I'm generally, I don't know what it is about this one that I'm sort of like I'm usually about it, but this is more
well probably because he raped not just her vagina, you know.
Yeah,
like okay,
yeah, it's a lot. Anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
Because I'm scared those people who were like, let's skip for 30 seconds are still here.
Oh, no. Okay. In August of 1979, he accidentally shot his workmate while he was drunk. This led him to serve a year in prison. And in prison, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, thus ruling the shooting as an accident. He was sentenced for a minimum of 4 years, but was released in early December of 1980, not even a year later.
Excuse me?
He continued to kill 3 more women in less than a month, including the 9th and final murder on December 18th, 1980. On that day, he invited friends over for a dinner, but asked one of the female guests to give him a hand in the kitchen. He actually just killed her and started dismembering her body.
Were there not other guests over?
They were in the other room. A drunk dinner guest walked into the kitchen to help himself to a drink from the fridge, only to find the woman's severed head staring back at him.
I think I would genuinely shit my pants. If I saw that, if I walked into the kitchen, I'm like, oh, I just want to get, like, fill up on my drink. I would shit myself right there.
But before he could shit himself.
Yes.
Another scream was heard from the other room. Another guest, joined by others who came running, found Nikolai kneeling on the floor in the midst of chopping up his latest victim. The guests ran off, calling the police. And there was a few different versions of the story that I found. Most of them didn't specify the gender of the dinner guests. And also one said that they found the head and the intestines in the fridge. And then others where they found the head on the floor. And yeah. It was like two of them came in at once.
Yeah. I can hear Artie.
He's sticking his paw under the door. He wants in. Well, let's hope he'll just chill out there for a little bit. So, there were a few different versions of this story, but basically a head was found and he was found killing someone. The police came into the house and saw Nikolai kneeling in front of the corpse, covered in blood. But because they were so shocked, he was able to get away.
Okay, I get it. I understand the shock. I'm shocked. Yeah. I am also shocked. However, someone phoned you and told you this man was killing someone. They had to have mentioned, hey, I was just at a dinner party and the host started chopping people up. Like, you have to rein in your shock so that you can arrest the man who was chopping up his dinner guests.
You would think, but, you know, the police just weren't prepared. They knew what was coming, but they weren't prepared to see it, you know? And smell of blood is very strong, you know, everything's red, you're freaking the fuck out. You kind of just, like,
so did he, like, just, like, Sonic run past them through the door? Like, what happened? Like,
basically, he, stripped fully naked, grabbed his hatchet, and went straight into the mountains. I don't know why he had to strip naked.
I think it's to like, did he just,
I don't know if that happened like in a different room, but I like, it would make sense if he stripped in front of them. They freak the fuck out, don't know what to do, right? That shocks them even more.
Okay, what's more conspicuous? A man running down the street covered in blood, or a naked man running down the street
with a hatchet? Yeah. But to be fair, he went straight into the mountain, so I'm guessing his home, the house he was at, is like close to like a mountain range, and he just like ran into his backyard.
Is it not fucking cold?
Yeah, it was December 1980 in Kazakhstan, so
I feel like it would be cold.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, he was, luckily, it was only a 24-hour mountain hunt, and he was found the next day at his cousin's house.
Still naked?
Presumably, he was clothed on December 19th, 1980.
I wonder what would shock the police more, the bloody scene, or this man just all of a sudden stripping down naked in front of them. I know we shouldn't be joking because it's actually such a gruesome crime scene, but I'm genuinely like, when you said he stripped down naked, I was like, excuse me, he what?
Sir. Can you imagine the cops just, sir, I'm gonna need you to put your clothes back on so we can put some handcuffs on you. Actually, God. I do know. The next day, he was fully clothed because the picture, they took a picture with him and he was wearing like a jacket.
Okay. As long as it's not just a trench coat.
No. Stop.
Okay.
Anyway. So during his interviews, he admitted that he murdered sex workers because he wanted to rid the world of prostitutes. But most of his murders were not sex workers and just regular women, so some believe he was most likely motivated by just a hatred of women in general, and also that he may have had a lot more victims that were he was actually charged for, and that number may have been around 50 to 100.
Holy shit. That's a lot of people. And that's also within... Well, I was going to say within a year, but that's also, like, the first one that was reported was, like, when they know that that... So it could have started before and the bodies were just never found, or, like, so it was this just never like, reported on.
Yeah, it was around 4 years of activity total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
In 4 years? Yeah, that's a fuck ton. Like, again, when he was released from jail, it only took him 18 days to get back in there. Like, he was released in December and was... recaptured in December.
Yeah.
The trial took place 1 year later on December 3rd, 1981. He was charged with 7 of the 9 murders. But since he had an existing schizophrenia diagnosis from his previous time in jail, he was deemed criminally insane and was sent to a special treatment center in Tashkent, Uzbekistan for 8 years. On the 8th year, on August 29, 1989, he requested a transfer to another facility, and during the transport, Nikolai hijacked the vehicle and disappeared for another 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
He then presumably wandered around the USSR and might have committed a series of murders in Moscow and Kazakhstan. The only clues detective has had was a letter he sent from Moscow to a friend in Bishkek. I saw another article say that he actually convinced a friend in Moscow to send the letter to his family just to get the government off his trail because he felt like they were closing in on him.
Mm-hmm.
So not sure who sent a letter, but a letter was sent, from Moscow. And in it, the letter states that Nikolai would not be coming home because of the abundance of women in Moscow that would not be missed.
Would not be missed in terms of, like, he's gonna kill them all?
Yeah.
My God.
My dude.
That's fucking scary.
Yeah. But 2 years later, in 1991, so there was, it's a little confusing because I saw this only in one article, but he was found and arrested once again. They sent him to the mental hospital under close surveillance, but that was where he was, quote, cured on multiple occasions and then released. But the general public hated him, so he wasn't very welcome out in society, and for some reason he was declared a fugitive and managed to live on his own in the mountains for a little bit, collecting medical plants and trading them for food with local villages. But they were still looking for him.
So I love it when, like, the news articles get so confusing and then everything just blurs. You're like, this maybe happened. We don't really know.
Yeah, basically this case. Like, it's such a huge case, but all the articles, you know, like, the articles we look at, especially... since, like, true crime isn't, like, a huge thing in other countries as much as it is in North America, right?
Yeah.
And, like, Europe now. But, yeah, all these articles, like, some of them make sense and then other ones. I try to include as many details as I can and, you know, like, make sense of it. But sometimes I'm like, huh?
Huh? What now?
Apparently, like, they were getting close to him with, like, hang gliders and, like, other motor crafts, like, small airplanes. I don't know. Cool. But for sure, this happened in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
He got tired of running and decided to steal some sheep. One or plural, I'm not entirely sure. But his goal was to return to Tashkent and go to prison for, like, a light sentence because he was just bored of running. He was then arrested in Fergana. And because he looked a little bit Asian, he pretended to be Chinese, and he was placed in a general cell of CISO, which is, I think, is the facility.
Mm-hmm.
He would only talk about stealing the sheep during his interrogations and refused to tell investigators how he ended up in the Soviet Union in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Since, you know, he's Chinese. Like, how'd you get here?
Yeah. What are you doing in the USSR, bud?
Yeah, what you doing here? So they got a little suspicious, and they called Moscow, and they were like, hey, I think we need some assistance. And Colonel Yuri Dubyagin, he was previously on the case of catching Nikolai, and he's like, you know, this smells a little suspicious. Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of like something Nikolai would do. So he flew out to Fergana. And Nikolai was taken back to the mental institution.
Good.
He filed once for the death penalty, but they determined it a deterioration of his condition. Not entirely sure what that means, but I think they're like, they thought it was a result of just his mental illness and they wouldn't grant him death penalty.
So he asked for the death penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they're like, no.
Yeah, no. You will suffer in this life.
You're gonna stay here and you're gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor said he willingly works in the department helping the staff. We have no grounds for his danger to others. He can quietly be in society and be observed in a regular hospital. Serial killer specialists strongly disagree that he should be released. But apparently his doctors said that he should be. So this is kind of weird. Two books that I read, so I read just snippets, they said that he was released in 2001, only 10 years later, and living with relatives in Eastern Europe, and he was reportedly also allowed to travel freely, but but I'm not sure what happened here because in most reports, he's still in jail. So I don't know if this was like him being, I don't know if the details I said earlier about 1991 that he was released and then they like put back in. I don't know if this is what they were referring to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of confusing. I'm sorry that articles aren't very reliable.
I know. Now we just all got everyone worried about this person running. It's like, is he out? Is he not out?
Okay, well,
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure, because those were like a little older. Mm-hmm. Now I'm pretty sure he's still in jail. According to most reports, he was eventually moved to a high-security mental hospital in Actas near Almaty and was allowed to work as a repairman. Mm-hmm. In 2011, a short story was written by Hungarian philosopher and poet István Bartos. And I wasn't going to mention this at first, but because it's like, it's just a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And it only has like 65,000 views. Mm-hmm. But he's a self-proclaimed philosopher and poet. And this is in 2011. So I didn't even realize we had modern day philosophers.
Yeah.
But he posted himself in an 11-minute long video reading the short story, True Story of the Kazakhstani Cannibal. It actually has a Hungarian title. I'll include it in the show notes just because. I watched it at 2x speed because it's in Hungarian.
Yeah.
But in the video, he's like this heavily tatted dude with like, he looks really odd. He has like long hair, like a beard. He has a head tattoo that like emphasizes his receding hairline. So not on like the hair part, but it's like on the forehead part. And it like outlines his hairline.
Why would you do that, bro? It's like, oh, let me... No. You know what you do? Every year, you do a tat where your hairline is.
And then just see, like, every...
And then see like how much it goes back every year.
Like the lines on a tree trunk? Oh, my God. But, yeah, he had, like, a face tat and, like, some other tattoos on his arms and stuff, from what I could tell. In the video, he's seen wearing these big, like, thick, round glasses that are held together with a piece of tape in the middle. And one of the arms of the glasses was replaced by, like, a wire that wasn't even hanging off his face. It was just, like, floating. This dude's weird.
He seems whack.
Yeah, so, like, I wasn't gonna include this in the beginning, but I watched the video and I was like, I feel like I need to talk about this.
Yes.
He also, a few minutes in, he puts a cigarette in his nose and, like, lights it. And then he starts smoking it, like, normally. And he puts it down.
Like he didn't even finish the cigarette. Smoking it normally through his mouth, right?
Yeah, through his mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, like, he lights it with a match. Or maybe it was a lighter.
He lights it.
He lights it, inhales it through his nose once, and then puts it in his mouth.
That's so unsanitary. Dude, you're eating your own fucking boogers.
Yeah. But then, like, that's not even the end of it. Like, he puts it down, okay? Like, he doesn't finish the cigarette. But then he puts a brand new one up his nose again. And then he leaves it there for, like, 3 minutes before, like, doing anything with it. He just leaves the cigarette in his nose, doesn't even, like, light it. He takes a swig of some drink that I can only imagine is, like, liquor. And eventually he lights it again and smokes it and puts it down before finishing it again. Like, it's just a waste of cigarettes, man. Yeah. And the camera work is weird, too. Like, it's super shaky, and it's zooming in and out of his hands and his face. And there's, like, a half-drunken bottle of Pepsi behind him. And, like, they zoom into the bottle of Pepsi like it's important.
Art.
Truly. But he is, like, a performance artist. He calls himself a philosophical cannibal. And did a performance piece where he became voluntarily homeless and drank his own pee and ate his own poop.
That is so bad for you.
So that's István Bartos.
How does this tie to it?
He wrote a story about Metal Fang. That's it. I don't know. It was included in one of
that
the
is so bizarre.
Fun facts about Metal Fang.
That is so bizarre.
Yeah.
But all right, dude, you do you. Smoke those cigarettes through your fucking nose.
Hell yeah. I hope he's, like, alive. Well, taken. It's like an odd video. If you want to watch it, I don't know why.
I feel like that would be such a wild video to watch when you're high.
Just, but the thing is, you won't even understand what he's saying because it's all in Hungarian.
Yeah, but you're just gonna trip out looking at the visuals. Like,
I'd be freaked. That guy looks kind of freaky, and there's no comments on the video, so I don't even have any idea what the story's about. Mm-hmm. I just know it's about a Kazakhstani cannibal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to our man, Nikolai. In 2014, he was charged with an additional murder of a female student from 1990 from Western Kazakhstan. Apparently because the MO matched that of Nikolai's, and, you know, his MO is pretty special, unique.
Specific.
Specific.
Defined. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, a rumor came out that on December 23rd, 2015, Nikolai had allegedly escaped from police and was in hiding again.
Hello.
Yeah. And so this was extremely concerning because the hospital that he was being held in would not confirm his presence.
That's so sus.
Yeah. And police in Uzbekistan would also not confirm whether or not they were searching for him. They also did not admit it the first time he escapes until after he was captured. So people were, like, freaking the fuck out. They're like, the police are not telling us something. This is suspicious. People in Almaty, Kazakhstan, had reported seeing Nikolai in their town. And the residents of Aktis, where he was supposedly being held, claimed that he was no longer there. Locals also seemed to believe that he had killed again, with an article from news.com.au reporting that he was being blamed for the disappearance of Saida Aksanova, age 22, who had been missing since New Year's Eve. But police were adamant that no arrest order had been made for Nikolai, and that the news was very confusing for them. And it actually later turned out that a 21-year-old female student from Uzinagash, Nikolai's hometown, started the rumor, and she was arrested.
Why would you do that? Did she just do that for attention?
I have no idea.
Or just to, like, be quirky? I hate that. That's so annoying.
Yeah, I have no idea. The passage that I read did not specify anything about her other than that. So I have a feeling it was, I don't know. It's interesting that she's from his hometown and she decided to do that. But I don't know what the connection is. I don't know why she decided to do that. But, Yeah, so Nikolai is still sitting in jail. He's probably in his 70s now.
I hope he dies there.
Me too. And that's it. That's the end of my case.
That was wild. That was actually so, like, that was an adventure. I really like that because it was sort of, you know, your normal lead up to any case, like giving backstory of who he is, etc. And then all of a sudden he strips naked.
This man is like a beast, though. Like, he lives out in the mountains in, you know, what used to be Russia, Kazakhstan.
USSR, yeah.
It's cold up there.
It do be cold.
Like, he ran out in December in his bare booty. I don't even know if he had shoes
metal
on.
Metal fang, more like bare booty.
Do you think he ever got, like, frostbite on his lips?
I hope so.
Or, like, his lips ever got stuck to his teeth? Do you think, like, his tongue ever got stuck to his teeth during the cold?
I hope so. I hope he suffers from that for the rest of his life. You know, like, that should be his... Other than just being in jail, I hope eternally he gets so cold that his tongue gets stuck to his own teeth.
Like, constantly?
Yeah. Like, he'll wake up and it'll be just be like, ugh.
Oh, motherfucker, I can't talk today because my tongue's stuck on my tooth.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too. Oh. I hope he kisses someone and their tongue gets stuck to his mouth.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing for the other
person. Actually, he'd probably enjoy that.
He might.
Yeah. Anyway, fuck this guy.
What a disgusting dude.
Yeah. He has a cool nickname, though, but I fuck it, like, gross. I hate you.
Yeah.
rot in prison, please.
Yeah. I hope he does. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Tammy. If you guys want to see the photos of whatever Tammy can find.
Ooh, there's actually a really gory photo of one of the victims. Well, so I probably won't post that. But like, I'm just letting you know it's out there. If you really want to look for it, it's out there. Yeah. But I'm not going to post it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see any photos, then you can go and check out our Instagram page at Incrimination. We always post photos there and updates about whether or not we're going to be posting a new episode. But definitely stay tuned. We will have our Halloween episode coming up for the spooky month. Yay!
And I think we'll be releasing that
a bit earlier than Halloween.
Just before Halloween.
It'll be on regular schedule as when we will... when we would regularly release an episode.
Yes.
Because we're not about creating extra work for ourselves.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And if you really want to listen to it on Halloween, just wait.
Yeah. Give yourself that anticipation.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go check out any of the sources that Tammy used, including that video of that very, very strange man, a very, very strange philosopher, you can go find that at our show notes. At the link bit.ly/incrimination, all in lowercase. And that's it for today's case. Thanks for listening.
Bye!